97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, we made it into Thursday, December 11th. The time is ticking away. Finally got around to ordering my wife's Christmas present yesterday because, you know, I was sitting there thinking, I've been thinking about it for a few days, and I've been watching it, waiting for the price to drop just a little bit, and it finally did.
Really? So not a price drop on Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
There was not. I checked on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and then for some reason it just dropped about $30, $35. Not that that was a showstopper. I mean, I was going to have to buy it anyway. She made it really easy for me. She sent me a picture of it and said, "This is what I want." So that made my shopping really easy. I was just waiting for a little bit of a price reduction, and it finally came. So.
Since she already knows what it is.
Well, I mean, we share an Amazon account. I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing about it. Surprises are out the door, but, you know, 32 years into marriage, you're like, well, just make it easy for me. So she just made it easy for me. I'm sure I'll add something extra between now and Christmas, you know, that she doesn't know about, just as a little surprise, but... You know, I don't know. How does Michael handle that stuff? You guys still try to surprise you? You don't do a lot of presents.
We're not really big on the gift giving.
No.
But although my husband, I'll tell Michael, I don't need anything, and I mean it, and he'll surprise me. Like, well, the other year, I think it was last year, he bought us as a family. It was a family gift. He got a Blackstone. So he wrapped it, you know, and it'd be really hard to wrap a Blackstone, but he figured out with like patchwork to wrap the grill and put it in our garage.
Nice. So how are the babies enjoying that?
Well, you know.
You said it was a family gift.
Yeah, well, Hudson's really loving it. Uses it all the time. In fact, he usually cooks for us now.
He's moving right along, man. That kid is growing up in a hurry, I'm telling you. I love it. Well, it's a Thursday morning, and we've got a few of our regulars, but some of them are not our regulars because our folks from Fox, they had their big Fox Christmas party last night, and we reached out to them and said, "Hey, you know, time to do your hit this week." And they're like, "Yeah, well, guess what? We're not available tomorrow." I'm like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me!"
Well, Griff is allegedly traveling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that what they said?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Probably, he's probably traveling to, like, Costa Rica or something to...
Surf.
To surf, mm-hmm. knowing Griff. That's possible.
I did see a picture that Todd Pyro posted from their Christmas party, and they had women with... Did you see this? Like, women with the stilts and, you know, fancy outfits. And I'm like, well, come on,
Odyssey.
Wow. Are we doing ladies with stilts for our Christmas party?
They had a good budget year there at Fox, clearly, right?
I guess so.
They didn't have a party the last couple of years, according to Jimmy Fallon yesterday when we had him on, which was pretty funny to hear. So they did not even have a party the last few years. And this year, clearly, they've decided to do it upright. I don't know. I would not... have too high expectations we have a station wide Christmas get together. I don't know if I'd call it how much of a party it's going to be, but that's happening this afternoon. And you know, you never look a gift party in the mouth. That's kind of always my approach to it. I don't know about you. You never look a gift party in the mouth, but, it's the thing Kim and I, living out west a little further, kind of dread about the whole thing, is that we have to drive all the way back downtown to get to it. I don't mean to be a complainer, but we make that drive once a day because we work so early. We will have already returned home by a number of hours before we're going to have to turn around and come back downtown.
Well, you will.
For an hour.
I will.
You're not coming?
No,
you're blowing it off?
No. I have something to do in South County. At 3:30,
well, you'll be
off,
nearby.
But I'll be with my husband, and spouses are not allowed.
Well, you just leave him in the car with the kids, and you
hold
come on,
honey.
In.
I'm going to be gone for like an hour. Just hang out here in downtown St. Louis. You're fine.
You'll be safe. Just keep the car moving. Do a slow roll through the stop signs, and you'll be safe.
Yeah, just don't stop. That's the problem. That's when it gets scary.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the bright side this morning, I think we have Sue Thomas back. So we'll be getting you some traffic reports from Susan coming up, and we'll talk to her about her few days off, celebrate her anniversary, which we missed last Friday. I completely forgot about it. And then it was Sunday, and then now we have to wish her a happy anniversary here in just a couple minutes. We will have Tom Ackerman. We will have Jim Talent. We got Nick Schroer joining us just a little bit later. We're going to talk to the executive director of the Red Cross because, as usual, this time of year, blood donations tend to be down. They're always looking for help. We'll tell you how you can help out with that as well coming up. All right, right now, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
In order to be in the MAGA movement, either you're racist or you had to overlook a lot of racism. And so which is worse?
Don Lemon. Don Lemon there claiming that if you are a member of MAGA, you are an admitted racist. There's no two ways around it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You are a racist if you disagree with the tolerant left in this country.
I do not have time to address the noise. My silence does not mean that I am complacent. Mm-hmm. My silence does not mean that somehow Turning Point USA and all of the handpicked staff that loved my husband and my husband loved them is somehow in on it.
Wow. Good for you, Erica Kirk. I have to tell you, she was on the couch with Harris Faulkner yesterday, Kim, and she, on the verge of tears at times, the passion in Erica Kirk, and she's angry. She's angry at Candace Owens and these other people who are spreading conspiracy theories about the death of her husband. And I don't blame her for lashing out. I mean, somebody's got to stand up and defend Charlie Kirk.
Excitingly for me and for the country, we've just launched the Trump Gold Card, and all funds go to the United States government. Could be a tremendous amount of money. It'll also be able to have people like this keep, as an example, just one example. There are a lot of examples, people just buying them. It's somewhat like a green card, but with big advantages over a green card.
I know I applied for mine, some exclusions apply, but you need to get that Trump Gold Card. No, this is the one that that you can basically, if you're willing to spend enough money and the money goes into the coffers of the American government, it's like buying a green card almost is basically what they've worked out. It's an interesting concept. I don't know how well it helps the budget.
I'm going to be honest. I don't feel good about being white every day for a lot of reasons, because it's a point of privilege that I get to move through the world in a way that so many of my other colleagues and friends and family members and of the community don't get the privilege to do.
White liberal women will be the death of America. Can I just tell you that? When this republic fails someday, idiots like that will be leading the pack of people that drag us down to the depths. All great empires end at some point because they get soft and their brains get turned into mush, like this stupid liberal woman from California. Her name is Sarah Stalker. Of all names, Stalker. She's a state representative in the state of Kentucky. I don't even know what area she's from. And I know the state fairly well. But she wants you need to understand, if you are Caucasian, if you are the root of all evil, and you just don't appreciate what your white privilege has done for you.
Does she feel bad for Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and the however many homes they have? I mean, it's just so stupid when people sit there and say that you should feel guilty just because you were born with a particular skin color. There are a lot of wealthy black people and a lot of poor black people and a lot of wealthy white people and a lot of poor black people.
A lot more white poor people, white people.
It's ridiculous. Come on.
a lot more poor white people in the country than there are poor black people. Well, there are more white people than black people, but still, statistically, there are more. It's the stupidity of the argument, and every black person that hears her say that should be offended by it. That she's somehow suggesting that she's better than you just because of the color of her skin, or that she gets some advantage that you don't. Hogwash on all of that. Even when I was in the hospital recently, I'm sitting there and I start a conversation with the nurse who's from a former Soviet republic who came here with $300 in his pocket and worked his way up to a nursing degree and is living the American dream. And he's angry with people who are born here with the golden ticket and never take advantage of it because they're told by idiots like this that their failure is somebody else's fault. It's stupid. You're born with more opportunity in this country than any other place in the world. Period. End of discussion. But the people born here don't take advantage of it. Instead, we have to blame somebody else for our failures. Oh, it's because of the color of my skin. It's because of my ethnicity. It's because of, you know, my great-grandfather was a different ethnicity. That's why I'm failing. Hogwash. It's a whole white privilege argument just pisses me off. Listen to this woman. I want you to hear the whole bite before we go to break. It's only about 30 seconds long. She gets around to blaming white men who are even more privileged than white women. Go to cut 11, please.
I'm going to be honest. I don't feel good about being white every day for a lot of reasons, because it's a point of privilege that I get to move through the world in a way that so many of my other colleagues and friends and family members and of the community don't get the privilege to do. And I'm just a female, but just a woman, just a white woman. If I was a white man, I would be functioning from a point of an even greater privilege.
So she's underprivileged too, because she identifies as a woman. I think she's actually a birthing person, to be honest with you. I mean, looking at her, if I had to guess, I'm thinking she's a birthing person. But she does admit to being a woman. She does identify as a woman. And because of her identity, she is at a disadvantage to the more privileged white male species, the people who identify. Why doesn't she just identify as a white male? Would that help her out?
That would change things, yeah. These days you can do that.
I'm just here to help. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. First, our national anthem.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Yeah, welcome back. I play that because they claim to have come up with a solution to Obama health care, right? We talked to Eric Schmidt about it a little bit. Of course, the Democrats are not happy about that in any way, shape, or form. But here's the interesting thing about it is I may have been wrong. It's hard for me to say that. I may have been wrong.
Wow.
I kind of thought that the Republicans, and maybe they still will end up buckling on this and going ahead and funding these subsidies anyway because it's a midterm. But I'm seeing a little bit of pushback here that I like. I like it a lot. I didn't know this. Apparently, they did a test of the subsidy system and created a bunch of fake accounts just to test it. And in most cases, they were granted the subsidy, even though it was a completely false application, which means there is rampant, rampant fraud going on these healthcare subsidies. Rampant. More than enough reason not to ever pay another taxpayer dollar into them. And it was Mike Johnson who first talked about this yesterday. Listen.
This is investigators at the Government Accountability Office, okay? They submitted 24 fraudulent applications for the ACA subsidies, the Unaffordable Care Act subsidies, Obamacare, okay? Of the 24 fraudulent applications that they created intentionally to just see what would happen, 23 of them were approved. These applications were completely fraudulent. The investigators did not submit any Social Security numbers, citizenship documentation, or reported income documents.
Why does that not surprise me at all?
It shouldn't. But you've got a government bureaucracy that just doesn't care. These people get the information in, they rubber stamp it, they send the money out the door. It's not their money. They don't care. Mm-hmm. Why in the world would we keep funding this thing? It's just a sinking ship.
I think about how much money would be wasted if that's what's happening, just this small sample size that they did as this experiment. Think about the impact on a much, much, much larger scale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's huge. But I wanted to play that because I know that debate is ongoing and there's going to be some sort of a vote and it's not going to pass. And I don't know if the Democrats shut the government down again in January over it or not. I guess it's altogether possible that they do. I think that the impact is going to be somewhat muted because of the coming tax breaks and all that people are going to get under the big, beautiful bill that kick in when they start applying for their taxes in February, March, whenever you file your taxes. I think that's probably going to offset some of those expenditures just a little bit. But some people were getting stuff for free. By the way, a lot of people have been chiming in. We do have the text line open, 314-241-9797. If you can want to send us a few examples of how white privilege has helped you over the years, assuming you're white, feel free to text those in. Richie said earlier on here, and I would agree with this completely, you know, oddly, I'm still waiting for that white privilege paycheck to hit my account. For some reason, that hasn't happened yet. I just checked in my balance, and they still haven't deposited my white privilege. It you know, it's true. I think about this myself. My grandfather, my grandparents in Kentucky, they farmed what they eat from the dirt. My grandfather had multiple jobs to try to make enough money to scrounge together enough food and clothing for his children. These were not privileged people. They were dirt farmers. They were. My mother bettered herself by going to college, getting a college degree, becoming a teacher. My dad worked in a steel mill for 37 years. Where's the privilege? I don't get it. I've been working since I was 14 years old. I'm still working today. I'll be working for a number more years, God willing. I don't understand that what it is an excuse at this point. Everybody has the same opportunities out there at success. We certainly do these days. We're not a perfect country, but we're better than all the rest in terms of your ability to go out and increase your socioeconomic status. That's what sets America apart. I get so tired of all this belly aching over privilege. You have privilege. And you hear Jasmine Crockett, the brain trust of the left, wanting to go out and end taxes for all people who have black in their skin, dark color in their skin, to make up for reparations. They shouldn't have to pay taxes anymore. Give me a break. Nobody's buying it. Please let her speak. Let her speak. We'll get to Kim on a whim here in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
As if we needed more examples of people trying to rewrite American history, I have yet another one. And it's really targeting children in particular, which is what really makes me especially angry about it, because my children are too young to experience this now, but they're going to have to, or at least I have to be the gatekeeper as they get older and they're exposed to more and more things. And I'm talking about Hollywood. And how you have these classic villains in these movies, like, for example, Cruella de Vil in the 1961 version of 101 Dalmatians.
Okay.
And then you have the rewrite of that movie that was released in 2021 that was just called Cruella. Okay. I want to play the classic song from the original one, 101 Dalmatians, singing about Cruella. And I want you guys to listen to the lyrics and the way that the lyrics describe Cruella.
Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh,
to
Roger.
See her is to take a sudden chill. Cruella, Cruella. She's like a spider waiting for the kill.
Roger, she'll hear you.
Cruella de Vil. At first you think Cruella is a devil.
Wow.
But after time has worn away the shock, you come to realize you've seen her kind of eyes watching you from underneath a rock.
You're no help,
Roger. This vampire bat. This inhuman beast, she what? Ought to be locked up and never released. The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella, Cruella de Vil.
So if you didn't catch that, some of the lyrics are, if she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will. To see her is to take a sudden chill.
Uh-huh.
Compares her to an inhumane beast that
and a
she
snake.
Ought yeah, that she ought to be locked up and never released. Then fast forward to 2021, where they release this new version of the movie Cruella. And what they do is they have this scene where they show Cruella watching her mom get mauled to death, basically, by a pack of Dalmatians. Like, the Dalmatians end up killing the mom. So it paints a story of Cruella really was just a victim of childhood trauma. And that's why she does all the things that she does. She's not really evil. She had a really, really hard time. And we see that play out in Oz. Think about the Wizard of Oz, the classic film that we all grew up watching.
Yeah.
You have the Wicked Witch, who is wicked, you know, in her name. And then you have the new one, Oz, with Ariana Grande. And it paints this Alphaba, or whatever is her name, but it paints her as this victim who was bullied, and that you should feel empathy for her, and that she kind of is the hero of the story.
Society caused her to be the way she is.
Exactly.
Right? Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this in the way that the media is portraying a lot of the criminals, where you have someone who did something that's so horrific and evil, and I'm using that word very intentionally, evil, and they deserve death. Death. And yet somehow we're shown some sob story about how we should feel sad for them. And they put the music and they tell us about how they had a hard childhood, or how they've had to, you know, overcome so many obstacles in life, and we should feel sad for them, and we should start a GoFundMe page for them.
Well, almost all of the Disney princesses are don't have a mother, right? Have you thought about that?
I didn't know. I didn't
know. Most
of
them don't. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's an interesting trend. Okay, that's
think
not
about
something
it.
I thought about.
Think of all of them. Cinderella, I mean, all of them, the mother is missing out of the story, and there's a evil stepmother or someone else who stepped in.
Well, funny you say that about Cinderella, because there's a new version, I guess, of that coming out on Netflix next year called Steps. And it's the same thing we keep seeing play out, where Cinderella has the evil stepsisters. And in the original, they are actually evil. And they're evil from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. Well, guess what? Now, that's opposite, where it's they're kind of the hero, where it's just they've had a hard go at life. And so that's why they are the way that they are. Listen to the description of this movie, Steps, that your kids or your grandkids might want to watch. And this is something you have to think about. This is a description of it. Think you know Cinderella's evil stepsisters? Think again. When misunderstood Lilith, I guess is the name, Lilith is blamed for hijacking the royal ball with the stolen magic wand, she accidentally turns her sister Margot into a frog and allows the kingdom to fall into the hands of a prince-obsessed mean girl. Which is also interesting that they said prince-obsessed. Now Lilith must team up with Cinderella and a surprisingly dreamy troll to save the kingdom, repair the fractured fairy tale, and prove that even so-called villains deserve a shot at happily ever after.
Wow.
I think all these illegals who have committed crimes, you know, murders, whatever, doesn't matter. I think they deserve a shot at happily ever after.
Sure.
I do.
All these evil people. What about Vladimir Putin?
He is misunderstood.
That's it.
Osama bin Laden, misunderstood. And you might be laughing when I say Osama bin Laden was misunderstood. But don't you remember a few years ago when someone started something on TikTok or Instagram, whatever, and all the Gen Zers were latching on to this idea that Osama bin Laden.
Shame on you, Kim.
Oh, my goodness. That he was kind of misunderstood.
And that, oh, yeah, I remember. Based on some letter, yeah.
What he did, you know, slaughtering thousands of people at, you know,
might have been
his
okay.
idea. That was justified somehow. We don't think about the way that these movies can have an impact on kids. I mean, their brains,
their
sponges.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Yes, it's all about perception. And that's the challenge, is it's very sneaky the way that they do this, because it might come off innocent, where even as a parent, myself included, you might not realize what's happening. But when you put the movies back to back, you know, up next to each other, and you compare them, you realize the trend that we're seeing, and it's happening on a very large scale level. It's not just one movie. This is what is happening,
well,
in general.
It's about changing the culture, right, and changing attitudes. And a lot of it is about modifying the language, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Instead of equity, instead of equality, it's now equity. And this has been drilled into kids' heads. And we're guilty of it because we repeat it all the time just in complaining about it. But, you know, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Who came up with that garbage? I mean, it's nonsense. It is. And we call it out. And, of course, when you do that, people like Don Lemon claim that you're a racist because you don't believe that diversity is our strength.
Right.
I don't care what color you are, Don. I don't. If you got a team of people, I want the five best people on that team, or four, or three, right, or however many they are, the most qualified people. I don't care what color they are. The left does, oddly enough, which flies in the face of everything Dr. King taught you, but I'm just saying. You're right. That's how they're trying to change the culture. And they've been immensely more successful than I would like in doing that.
Morality is out the window now for many people. Mm. It's whatever I want to do, and you should just let me do it, right? And it's this concept that Hollywood, that schools are trying to sell children on, that evil doesn't really exist. No, there is such a thing as good and evil. There are people who truly want to harm our children, yep, harm us, and they need to pay the price for it.
Did you hear Jasmine Crockett the other day? I probably got the soundbite here somewhere. Criminals, you know, I mean, most of these people, you need to understand what was going on in their lives when that happened. They're not really criminals. They did that because they had no other choice.
Well, right.
So justifying breaking the law because of whatever their situation was before.
Right.
That's the left-wing mentality in this country.
He or she had a really hard childhood, and so that's why she chopped up his or her parents and, you know, murdered them. Yeah, I have empathy for you if you had a hard childhood. I can't imagine that. I was very blessed with a great childhood. But that just because
you were privileged.
I was privileged because I'm white. That's right. Thank you, Mark. But I don't care how hard your life was. That doesn't justify you slaughtering your parents. I don't care that you had a hard life in whatever country you're living in. I'm sorry. That's really hard. I don't want to. I can't imagine being in that position. But guess what? Newsflash. That doesn't mean you can just break into our country. That doesn't mean that Channel 4 or Channel 2 or Channel 5 can put up some story and have a reporter out there talking to you and how hard it's been for your children. You made a bad decision. You put your children and your entire family in that position. And you should be the one to have to face the consequences for it and get your butt back to the country where you came from. I don't feel sorry for you.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm done.
No, he did basically say that yesterday in speech to these Somalis. You came from a crap hole. I won't use the word that he used on the air before to describe it. It's true. A lot of these third world countries are crap holes.
Right.
If you get a chance to come here, it's a golden ticket. And then you want to come here and screw people over by running billion-dollar fraud schemes in your community and outside of Minneapolis. Get out. We don't want you.
Do it the right way, assimilate, like other people.
Assimilate or get out. I'm sorry. You've been here 5 years and you don't speak the language yet. Just go. You have no desire to be part of America. You want to change America into the same crap hole you came from. No, we're not going to let that happen. Thank goodness. Can you imagine how much further down that road we'd be if Kamala had won a year ago?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you see, by the way, she called herself a historical figure?
Historical loser. I think she misphrased that a little bit, for sure. All right. We'll be back in just a minute. Next hour, we'll talk to Tom Ackerman. I know the winter meetings are going on with baseball. We'll find out if there's been any movement or will be in his opinion for the Cardinals. We'll be back.
She is a historic figure in the sense that she is the first Democratic nominee to lose both the Electoral College and the popular vote since, I think, 1988. She was a uniquely bad candidate. You know, Dan Quayle has a bust in the Capitol as well. Having a bust doesn't make you a historic figure or a particularly good candidate. And I think what you heard when she made this comment about, you know, I'm a historic figure, is sort of a sore sense of lack of self-awareness.
You think Kamala's got a lack of self-awareness? She's walking around promoting a book. In fact, I don't know, I got something on Facebook about an appearance she's making somewhere. Well, not around here. But some, I think maybe it's Montgomery, Alabama or something, where she's speaking to promote her book, 107 Days, titled as an excuse. The title of her book is supposed to be an excuse for why she lost.
She's a victim.
She is a victim. It's I only had 107 days.
Honestly, that means that she only had 107 days to sound like a buffoon in every media interview, and her staff hid her for the first, what, 30-some-odd days? They wouldn't let her do anything? Now, she's not wrong in the sense that any vice president of the United States, I mean, to a degree, is a historic figure, but she's not going to be remembered as a very successful vice president.
I would agree. Most people that run and fail for president 30, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, people will have forgotten that name. I think that's pretty normal for vice presidents everywhere, unless they succeed in becoming president of the United States. People tend to just forget about them. And Kamala is no different than that. But again, it just goes back to what you said. She's a victim. She's a victim because America just wasn't ready for a strong black woman. No, the America wasn't ready for somebody they don't perceive to be super intelligent and somebody who adopted the horrible programs of Joe Biden and the left. I mean, I said it all along. I was not against Hillary Clinton because she was a woman. At all. I don't care what her gender is. That's not it. I've never been presented with what I thought was a viable candidate for president of the United States who happened to be a woman. I haven't come across that person yet. Maybe she's out there somewhere. It wasn't Haley, that's for sure.
Would you support Tulsi Gabbard if she ran at this point?
I don't know. I like Tulsi Gabbard. I think she's come a long way, but I'm still a little suspicious of her stance on
abortion,
on some issues. She was a Democrat for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could wrap my arms around that. And I don't know who that person is. I'm still waiting for who that is. But to blame everything on, I mean, a double whammy for her. What was the line in The Jerk, Ethan? I was raised a poor black sharecropper's child. It was funny because it was Steve Martin saying it, and he's Lily White. In the movie, it was funny. She, of course, claims to be an African-American, but she's from Jamaica. A mixed ancestry with her mother, I think, was Indian, and maybe her father was Jamaican. But she completely fell into the I'd be the first black, female president of the United States. And when I fail, well, then it's only because I would have been the first female black president of the United States and America just wasn't ready for that. No, America wasn't ready for the fact that you're not mentally capable of handling the scope of that job.
So since most vice presidents do get a marble bust created for them that's displayed in the U.S. Capitol, do you think that hers, then, that the plaque would say unburdened by what has been?
Maybe. It could. It might. Here's what I thought was pretty funny. Yesterday, if you missed it, we talked about this a little bit. Jasmine Crockett has decided that she is going to run for Senate in the state of Texas. She's going to run against John Cornyn. And they had Kevin McCarthy on last night talking about this with the Jesse Waters. And he's like, listen, hats off to the Senate committee, the Senate election committee helping candidates around the country, because they have absolutely basically trolled her into running for this job. And once she announced, it guarantees that seat for a Republican again. Listen to McCarthy last night.
Well done, well played, going to save us a lot of money. People were afraid coming out of competitive Republican primary that the Democrats could win that Senate seat. And Crockett gets in, Allard gets out. They still got another Democrat or two in, but oh my God, she makes Kamala look bright.
It's true.
They're cut from the same cloth.
Oh my gosh, I've got several good bites from Crockett this morning, where even Jake Tapper called her out yesterday on, you know, you said this. Well, no, that's not what I said. He goes, I just read you your quote. You can't go on TV and be believable when people say, I just read you the quote that you said, and then you claim that you never said that. Well, it was out of context. Well, no, it wasn't. It came out of your mouth. Not out of a context. It came out of your mouth. And this is going to be a interesting, I wouldn't say fun, but an interesting race to watch. She thinks of much more of herself than the voters of Texas will. They're going to see right through that, just like they saw through Kamala. Next hour, we will talk a little bit more about the Cardinals and maybe the football playoffs and all that great stuff. Does that college football playoff thing need to change the way they select who's playing? I think so. We'll talk to Tom Ackerman about 6:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.